And good morning. Our text this morning comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealous they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. That even when everything around us is being shaken, your word and your truth do not waver. That we can have confidence in you and in your promises, no matter what the circumstances are around us. God, we ask that you would continue to grow our faith, that you would continue to show us ways to love and serve and care for one another, that you would give us patience with our families, and that you would equip us to disciple our children well. And we ask this morning that your Spirit would encourage, convict, and shape our hearts through your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Hope everyone had a good quarantine week. It's been encouraging to see all of the creative ways you've been staying connected and caring for one another. Simple things like texts and cards and food mean so much and are so encouraging to people who feel isolated, which is a lot of people these days. So I'm still planning the big after party, the after COVID-19 party, but until then, just keep it up. Keep caring and loving and supporting one another and checking in on one another. As you likely gathered, we are finishing up Mark chapter 7 this morning, and Jesus is still traveling around in a predominantly Gentile area. He's moved from Tyre and Sidon over to the region of the Decapolis, which sits just on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And this story of healing that Mark tells is reminiscent of the story about the paralyzed man back in Mark chapter 2. Probably remember his friends had a bro sesh and trashed Jesus' roof and then lowered him down into the house. Well, similarly, it's this man's friend that brings him before Jesus. And it is they who are begging Jesus on this man's behalf to lay his hands on him and heal him of his blindness and his speech impediment. And it's so interesting to see all the different ways that Jesus heals people through the book of Mark. Last week we saw that Jesus doesn't even need to touch someone or even see someone to heal them. He simply told that Gentile woman that your daughter is healed, and she went home and found her well. And then we had the woman with the bleeding issue who was healed by simply touching Jesus' cloak. And Jesus seemingly didn't even know that she was there. It was almost like a passive healing on Jesus' part. He was making his way through the crowd, and she touched him and was healed. And I think that each of these healings are different because every person is different. Every person is unique, and while they all share this common need for mercy and deliverance, there is always more going on than simply physical healing when Jesus heals someone. The physical healing is almost like the delivery method for individuals to experience Jesus' real purpose as he ministers to their hearts. And on top of that, on the global scale of God's redemptive purposes, all of the healings and miracles that Jesus does are a proclamation of the reality that He is the long-awaited Messiah. God is proclaiming that His eternal kingdom is breaking into the darkness of this world, even as He's engaging individuals with compassion and love by addressing their physical needs. And in our story this morning, we see both of these. There is the personal ministry of Jesus to this one man, but there is also this sweeping proclamation that the long-awaited Messiah is in their midst. And this man had real need. He couldn't hear, and he struggled to speak. His ability to communicate was severely handicapped. And that would be horribly difficult these days. It is difficult these days, but back then, without all of the medical and the technological advances that we have, it would have been devastating. It would have been embarrassing. It isolates you, it limits you, it confuses and even creates shame. This man had stood out all of his life. He'd always been different. People had always looked at him as the mute and deaf guy. But look what Jesus does. The text says Jesus took him aside from the crowd privately. He was just another face in the crowd, but Jesus pulls him away from everyone else. He singles him out and gives this man his full attention. That alone had to be pretty powerful for a man who, in many ways, had been on the outside of normal society for his entire life. Jesus pulls him aside. And then we read that Jesus put his fingers in his ears, and he spits on his hand, and he touches the man's tongue. And then he looked up at heaven. He sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And when I read this story, the first thing that came to my mind was, why on earth did Jesus stick his fingers in this guy's ear? Right? That's weird. And spitting on your hand and touching someone's tongue is obviously off limits these days. And probably even before coronavirus. I thought there must be some deep cultural meaning to these actions. And then it hit me. And I realized that the reason it was so hard for me to comprehend what was going on was because I'm just not as compassionate as Jesus. Newsflash, I'm sure. I hadn't really seen this man's need or related to this man's struggle like Jesus is doing in this story. Jesus' actions were not deeply cultural or theological. They were deeply compassionate and practical. This man could not hear Jesus' words. He couldn't respond to Jesus. And so Jesus communicates in a way that this man can understand with physical touch. He puts his fingers in his ear and he touches his tongue to let this man know what he was about to do. And then he lets out a visible sigh as he looks to heaven. Again, communicating an appeal to God in a way that this deaf man could understand. And showing sympathy with this man's affliction. No words, just a visible sigh as he looks up to heaven. And I think Mark makes sure to note exactly what Jesus spoke to this man, because they were the first words to penetrate his ears. "Be opened," Jesus says. And his ears were open, verse 35. His ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And the Greek here literally says that Jesus loosed the chains of his tongue. He loosed the chains of his tongue. It's such a powerful picture of the compassion of Jesus towards this man. Jesus saw him and engaged him exactly how this man needed to be engaged. And he healed him. He could hear and speak plainly for the first time in his life. But this story is not in the book of Mark simply because one man was healed. That's amazing. That would be enough. The compassion and love of Jesus is something to be marveled at. But what's happening in this moment through the healing of this man is the fulfillment of prophecy. Mark is unmistakably pointing to Isaiah 35, which describes the revelation of the glory of the Lord to the nations, saying, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." And to give you a little context here, Isaiah 35 is essentially the final chapter in the first part of Isaiah. It follows a series of chapters declaring God's judgment of Edom and Egypt, Tyre, Israel, and Jerusalem. But in chapter 35, the theme shifts from judgment to the joy of the redeemed at the revelation of the Lord. The connection to Isaiah 35 here in Mark has great significance for Mark's presentation of Jesus. Not just because ears being unstopped signifies the arrival of the day of the Lord. That's huge. That's the overarching truth. But there is a direct significance for the Gentiles in this region Jesus has been traveling through. Because what we read in Isaiah 35 verse 2 is that the desert lands of Lebanon will receive the joy of God. And Tyre and Sidon, where Jesus just came from, they are precisely Lebanon. And so Jesus' healing of this man, the unchaining of his tongue and unstopping of his ears in the Decapolis, are the first fruits of the fulfillment of Isaiah 35:10. That Gentile Lebanon will join the ransomed of the Lord and enter Zion with singing. Just like we saw last week with the Syrophoenician woman, this story is about an act of mercy and compassion by Jesus. But at the same time, it is a foreshadowing of the gospel expanding beyond the ethnic boundaries of Israel to bring life and joy and peace to all nations. Such a rich text. We see God working his eternal plan of redemption on the earth with sovereign power, fulfilling every prophecy and every promise. But at the same time, we see one man's life transformed. We see the compassion and love of Jesus addressing the very real, very practical needs of this one man. And it's not like Jesus pulled him aside and said, "Hey, I'm going to heal you. Because this is about something way bigger than you." That's not how Jesus rolls. It was about so much more. But in that moment, Jesus was fully present and fully engaged with this man. It's such a powerful picture that the God of all creation stops and ministers to one person with full attention and full love. And I think in many ways, we can relate to this man. I think that his physical condition is a picture of our spiritual condition apart from Christ. Or even our spiritual condition when the cares of the world creep into our hearts and we stray from trusting in the gospel of Jesus. The Psalms often talk about spiritual deafness. We also see this at the very end of the book of Acts. In chapter 28, Paul is teaching in Rome, and the Jews were still pushing back against the gospel and against Paul's ministry. And Paul says, "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears they barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.'" Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And here we are. Gentiles redeemed by the blood of Jesus through faith in his life, death, and resurrection. But the danger of spiritual deafness is all around us. The world, the devil, and our own flesh are always trying to drown out the truth that we know and proclaim. See, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not about hearing, remembering, and repeating truth. It's not about hearing, remembering, and repeating. A parrot can do that. It's about hearing, believing, and being transformed by that truth. And what our story makes clear is that only Jesus can enable true hearing and true seeing, true understanding and speech. And my prayer is that we would be a people who hear God's word and are transformed by it, who pursue him with boldness and persistence like the Gentile woman from last week, who press into disciplines of faithfulness even when our flesh revolts, knowing that God's word and prayer are promised to bring transformation to a humble heart. And I pray that we would be a people with unstopped ears who hear and understand and feast on the glorious truth that we have been given in the living and active word. And that God would unchain our tongues to proclaim salvation and life in Jesus Christ. That he would remove our petty fears of judgment or inadequacy, and we would freely proclaim the hope we have in Christ alone, encouraging one another, serving one another, and pouring our lives out for one another. As we read in Hebrews chapter 3, as well as Psalm 95, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear God's voice, if his spirit is convicting you through his word, if his spirit is revealing false hopes or false joys or beliefs or doubts or anxieties, do not harden your hearts. Open your ears and listen. The God of all creation knows you and loves you. He has called you to himself. And if you feel like God is distant, if you feel like God is silent, I would encourage you to survey your heart, because the truth is that God has not gone anywhere. His promises haven't wavered. His mercies are new every morning. But more often than not, it's our hearts that have wandered. We may proclaim God with our mouths, but our time, our thoughts, and even our actions often proclaim a different love. They often proclaim a different hope. And it's possible that in all the chaos of these past weeks, some of that has been exposed. False hopes and joys and loves that maybe you were blind to before. And if that's you, praise God. What a tremendous grace it is to have our eyes opened to falsehood in our lives. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit is evidence of the ministry of Jesus in our lives. And obedience to God in the face of that conviction is the confirmation of our faith. Because the only other alternative is disobedience. That's the only other alternative. It's continued blindness. It's unbelief. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But that is not us. We have seen and heard and must continue to turn and trust in Jesus. As Paul goes on to say, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that we would find comfort in this truth. That God has opened our hearts and our minds to the glory of Jesus in salvation. And that we would walk in obedience to Him. And to the call of Jesus on our lives. Because the call has not changed. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. James 5, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Let us be a people who trust in the promises of God, who put our hope in the promises of God, even in the face of chaos. Let's pray together. God, I pray that we would be a humble people, a confessing people, a praying people, a people who cast our anxieties on You, knowing that You care for us. God, remove the pride that keeps us from confessing our sin. Remove the false hopes that busy our hearts and minds with trying to seek the satisfaction that only You can provide. Make us a people who find joy in Your presence, comfort in Your word, and confidence in the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ. And loosen the chains of our tongues that we might proclaim that salvation to all who will listen. Amen.